Buddy, and welcome to the niche podcast about the one thing that I know something about: game shows. I suppose I'm your host, Jordan Haas. I just woke up as I'm recording this, and I decided to make this a little walkie-talkie one. So I'm just going to be wandering back and forth, kind of like the last couple of episodes of game shows, I suppose, in November. Mostly because I just need some energy, and also because this is one of those rambly episodes. The reason being, it didn't last that long. It actually lasted 12 episodes. It's one of those failed game shows that somehow resonated with audiences. A one-season wonder, as it were. I mean, you have various shows, like, say, Whodunit on ABC. The Hustler on ABC. Wait, they actually got season 2 pickup. Maybe you're a big fan of Big Fan, also on ABC. Maybe you just really love, Take It All on NBC. There's a lot of shows that last only one season and then kind of fell by the wayside. And, well, eventually, if we ever continue this experiment, I have to cover some of these shows, like National Bingo Night, My Kind of Town, and who can't forget the timeless classic, You Deserve It. Today's episode is not like one of those, because this one actually is not that bad of a format and has all the makings of a pretty good package. The only problem was people were really confused by it. Because we're talking about today, if you couldn't figure out by the title, Monopoly. Monopoly was a game show from 1990, and it has a really, really fun story. So, originally, the Merv Griffin Enterprises got the rights from Parker Brothers to make game shows out of all of their formats, because they were trying to go off the success of Scrabble at the time. Scrabble, the crossword game you played all your life but never quite like this. So, they had everything from Boggle to Yahtzee to Monopoly. So it became a how do you convince people to play Monopoly on TV and make it fun was the real challenge of the game, because I guess we got to just start from the beginning here. So Monopoly's beginning started as a board game called The Landlord's Game. You've probably already heard of this whole backstory, and it's supposed to be a sign about basically monopolies in high rent districts and rent consulting, and basically how capitalism is actually detrimental to society at large. It was a very leftist board game at the time, because, hey, these whole negotiations and boring things and all the stuff that people don't like about Monopoly was the whole point of to why it sucks. Because the way to win is you have to bankrupt your opponents. The way to win is to basically negotiate, and as it stretches and is long, the game is boring and annoying, and I just want to end it. Exactly. That's kind of the layer of Monopoly that not a lot of people seem to remember is the part of Monopoly. So when Landlord's Game became Monopoly, because someone decided I'm going to take this board game, basically copy paste it and then just make it about the monopolies, well, it became a success. You had tokens, you know, your dogs, your top hats, your battleships, your cars, and it became a big success story of the board game market. It became one of the biggest American board games ever created. Because Atlantic City Properties at the time, and the whole building block of Atlantic City into being a casino town. Well, that being said, as Merv Griffin loves Atlantic City, he also loves the board game Monopoly. As he also loves board game Monopoly, he also loves crosswords. So we remind ourselves back to the beginning, how do you make a game of Monopoly, a game that's supposed to be annoying and bad, into a successful game, because the successful game is played by assholes. Monopoly is supposed to be like, if someone says their favorite board game is Monopoly, you just say, no, thank you. I mean, I used to say Guess Who. I used to say Clue. All those detective kind of games, those are my favorite, because they're all puzzle solving. With Monopoly, you have to negotiate, and it just becomes, I mean, it's, I guess, a good business simulation, because you want to make monopolies, right? And, hey, I'll give you this, but for free rolls, and a get-out-of-jail-free card, and something, something, something. So, Monopoly had a few games in its past, and we're going to go through all of them. Not really, but we'll pretend we did. First things first, in the 80s, Rick Dees, an L.A. disc jockey, the Disco Duck guy, he had a Pepsi Challenge pilot, which had similar veins to what would be Monopoly in the later run. In the case of you would go around the board, and that's it. Just we're using the board game to determine categories, and that's it. When it became Mark Summers' pilot, they didn't really have any trivia aspects yet. They just kind of had the Monopoly rules. But one aspect of that pilot would wind up being in the mainline Monopoly, and that would be the bonus round. Now we get to the pilot. The pilot was hosted by Peter Tamarkin. Peter Tamarkin was, of course, well known for Press Your Luck. And this is, of course, Monopoly. So, how do you make it Monopoly? Well, you take three contestants, and you take Merv Griffin's love of crosswords, because anyone who knows Merv Griffin's long levity knows he loves crosswords. That's his big old passion project. So, they basically try to do Monopoly with the crossword clues a category on Jeopardy. So in each block, as in each side of the Monopoly board game, there would be a letter. And you would get a clue, and it's like all the ones that start with the letter S, or T, or J, or Q. And it just becomes, just you buzz in, and if you give the answer right, you get the property. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you win the game. You have to get the monopoly of the property, so you have to get the next one right. If there are multiple contestants getting one correct answer on the property, then a tiebreaker has to be conducted to determine who owns each of the properties. So the purples, the light blues, the oranges, the magentas, the yellows, the reds, the greens, and of course the dark blues, Boardwalk and Park Place. Now, in the pilot with Peter Tamarkin, it was as good as it can get when it comes to Peter Tamarkin as the host. Very enthusiastic, very enjoying. But there is one, there's two aspects of the pilot that go into discussion. One of which is how they go around the board. Now, on normal Monopoly, as you know, everyone has a token, and they roll the dice, and their token moves. Here, it's more of like the later Mario parties, where everyone's on the same board, and they just continue moving together. That's what happens. They decided we need a token. So are we going to have a living token on set? That's right. We're going to have Mr. Monopoly. So they hired a little person, a lady by the name of Patty Maloney, and they dressed her up with a bald cap and a top hat and gave her a little suit and a cane and had her go around the board. Now, keep in mind, she was not allowed to talk. They just had her go, like, do little dances and, like, waves. Almost like a Ronald McDonald character at a McDonald's. Like, you can't talk. You just have to go around the board. And that made, and likewise made Pierre Dumarkin very uncomfortable during the pilot. He recorded the pilot because maybe if it gets picked up, they will end up not having that be part of the game. And they didn't. They got rid of the Mr. Monopoly token in favor of just a light grid. We made things a little easier. You can see the board. What happened was basically Pierre Dumarkin thought it was very uncomfortable because this was basically someone you can't talk to or interact with. You can't acknowledge. They just have to go around the board as they just interact. And it was like, it made Pierre Dumarkin uncomfortable and kind of said, this is just indentured servitude then. If they're not allowed to talk or do anything, what's the point? So, long story short, he left the show. He did not, when the show got picked up, he went nowhere with that Monopoly. But, and this is the second part which makes it interesting, the host of the show was a contestant on the pilot. A person by the name of Mike Riley. Have you ever heard of Mike Riley before? No. No. So, he was an actor in Hollywood, and of course, pilot, I can do a pilot, make money. And then they just said, hey, you can host it. Because you're interject, you know how this game works, go for it. Basically, and this is where the show ends up being the negative, there was no faith in the show whatsoever. They kind of just saw this as a one and done, and we just had the deals in place, maybe we can get this to syndication. It didn't work out. Merv Griffin really loves syndication. As many of you know, if you watch Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. Because, well, Wheel of Fortune was big on all the networks. You know, you've seen it on CBS. You saw it on NBC. You can see it on ABC. Yeah, guess what? The real hit was when it hit, you guessed it, syndication. Same with Jeopardy. The NBC format went to syndication as well. And once it was syndication, that was when all bets are off and it became big, big money. Because obviously, right now, if you watch Wheel of Fortune Jeopardy, it's in syndication. You watch it either at 7:30 on your local channel or 7:30 and 7. Depends on if it's Wheel Jeopardy or Jeopardy Wheel. Also, this was game shows of the late 80s, early 90s. Syndication was the big idea. You had to sell it to syndicators because syndication market was actually on the rise. So it was a really smart idea. Monopoly is a beloved board game. Turn it to a game show. Sell it to syndication. Make shitloads of money. They had crossword clues so it could please Merv Griffin. And it was Monopoly, which was a board game kids like. So you could easily make this like an interesting game for kids to watch, too. And what happened was, essentially, everything didn't really fall into fruition. And it just bombed when it couldn't get picked up for syndication. So ABC picked it up. Why did ABC pick it up, you might be wondering? Why would a network pick up a Monopoly game show from Merv Griffin? One, because it's Merv Griffin. And two, because the idea was to make a tournament. This was basically just because of Super Jeopardy at the time. Now, I don't think we've talked about Super Jeopardy. So, the quickest answer was You know how Jeopardy is famous for Tournament of Champions and they get the best of the best to return? This was the precursor to the greatest of all time tournament, a 12-week event where four contestants as opposed to three would play for points on a giant Jeopardy board, and at the end someone wins, I think, $250,000. That was kind of the big appeal, like, whoa, a big money game show in 1990. However, it didn't really become the hour-long idea, because anyone knows, Jeopardy knows that when you do a tournament, you play two games of Jeopardy back-to-back. And according to ABC at the time, no one would want to spend an hour watching Jeopardy. 30 years later, the greatest of all time tournament hit, and that was a major success. So someone from Jeopardy 30 years ago is probably really pissed right now. But because they decided to make it a half hour and make it 12 episodes, they decided to offset it not with Wheel of Fortune, but rather this Monopoly game show. Why? To show it's a proof of concept, maybe as a second chance to syndicate it. But remember, Peter Tomarkin's not here, and it's some no-name by the name of Mike Riley. Will anyone actually pick up the show? Well, long story short, no. But it was basically a Super Jeopardy Monopoly hour of game shows on ABC. I mean, it was kind of the like last known primetime game show event at the time. And this was a summer game show run, which was also, if you think about it, kind of a precursor to what would become modern-day summer fun and games on ABC. This was ABC, after all, and putting game shows on a primetime block might have worked. Might have. Who's to say? I did. So now let's go to what the Monopoly game show is all about. So with all of that being said, that Merv Griffin loves game shows, loves the board game Monopoly, played it with his kids, came up with this concept to make it a trivia show with the Monopoly property serving as category, it became this weak format, but might I say, actually not that bad. In long story short, it was not that bad. It just needed some tinkering here and there. So, was it Monopoly? Barely. So if you never really cared for Monopoly or hated it, this was actually kind of the Monopoly for you because it was played very quick. So, here's how the game works. There's three contestants, like every Merv Griffin game show practically, like Wheel of Fortune, Jeopardy, three contestants. One is the red, one's the gold, one's the green. I'm guessing because Monopoly's core colors were red, gold, and green at the time of recording. Anyone who grew up in the late 80s, early 90s would know that kind of aesthetic of Monopoly. The set was very mono. It's just a big screen with the words Monopoly, M-O-N-O, like on Jeopardy, just M-O-N-O-P-O-L-Y, and a little stairway, and a little oversized board, and then, of course, your Vanna throwing the dice. That's how the game is mostly played, with three little poems. It was very, I wouldn't say cheap looking, I would say more simple. Like, they went for a simplistic set, which did work in its favor. I could see that, but it didn't really make for interesting for the audience. But I don't think they cared because they had just a lower third with the clues. So, the game is played with this. It's three contestants. And what happens is, in the first round, they get to go through all the properties. And if they buzz, and just like in the pilot, each block starts with a letter. A, B, C, D, etc. So all of the answers start with the letter F. All of the answers start with the letter L. All of the answers start with the letter S. And goes from there. So you ring in. If you get the word correct, you get the value of the property and now be added to your bank. If you can get a Monopoly, you get all of the value of the property also added to your bank. So, for instance, $60 on Baltic Avenue, you get $60. Mediterranean is, I believe, 120. So you get 120 for that, right? You get both of those, that's an extra 180. So if you got them both right, that's 360. If not, you have to answer one more to get it right. So it plays much like Monopoly in the sense of it's focusing on the monopolies. Unlike McDonald's Monopoly, you can't win $1 million. So you continue from there. And then we go to the light blue properties. All of these answers. And here's a clue. All of the answers start with the letter C. Ice cream's milky a sister. Chocolate. Okay. That's correct. And it goes from there. If you're incorrect, though, you are locked out for the next question, and you have to pay the fine of whatever is the value of the property, much like Jeopardy. So once we get through all of the properties, excluding the railroads and the utilities, which is electric company and waterworks, we continue with the second half of the game. Because now that we've obviously built up a bank, people have buzzed in, they've won properties, they may have lost a property because someone got Monopoly, because they got one more over them on a tie break, it becomes the second part. Using any of their money, they can build houses and hotels. This is the part that I really love about Monopoly, because this is a, during the break, you get to do some decision making, and they're, unlike actual Monopoly, where there is a limit on houses and hotels, here you can spend it on whatever you wish. So you can go, you can buy three houses for $150, you can buy a whole hotel for $250, and you can put it on all of the properties, or on a little. It didn't have to be built evenly. That's what I also enjoy. I think the rule of they had to build evenly was also implemented. Never mind. So what happens is, in round two, we actually now play Monopoly. We've built the properties, we found out who owns what house, and now it's time to play Monopoly. Starting at go, everyone gets $200, and the hostess, which they've had few, roll the die, and then the lights move across the board. If it's a property, whoever is the Monopoly owner gets first crack at the question. At the value of the property with any houses or hotels. Meaning that if you put a hotel on Boardwalk, that's like $3,000. And you got first dibs. There's no need to buzz in. You own the property. However, if you get it wrong, the value of the property could go to your opponents who can ring in with the correct answer. So there is a bit of like a spoiler, like on Merv Griffin's Crosswords, but a bit more implemented. Now, of course, there's a catch. If they get it wrong, they lose the value of the house and hotel, and you get it. So there is a chance you can save face and get some money. Now, this is the other catch with it. It plays like Monopoly because it's once around the board, and everyone plays on the same token. However, just like Monopoly, the chances in community chesses are played the same. That means that if you land on them, you have to follow the card. So advance to Boardwalk, advance to Go, pay, you win $15 for being second in a beauty pageant. All of those are given and bank are in your favor. And of course, houses and hotels. You can get deducted for any house or hotel that you have on your board. All of this was randomized before the show. So, as we continue playing Monopoly, obviously we're going around the board. If they pass go, everyone gets $200 and we keep playing. But there are special squares like on Monopoly that may not be a chance in community chess and follow the card in the directions. For instance, if you hit go to jail forces the token to go to jail, just like any other game. However, they immediately take the bribe. So we advance to the jail space, and everyone loses $250. In addition to that, utilities. Houses and if you land on either of those. It's whatever is the value of the question of which it rolled to land on. So if it went to Waterworks on a roll of a 9, one clue is worth $900, which I thought was also really interesting. Very smart, very logical thinking, because that's similar to what it is in the game. If you land on luxury tax, you lose 10% of your total. So it becomes just drop a zero and subtract. In addition to that, they also have income tax is 10%. Luxury tax is $75 off. And they lose $75 a piece. That's how it goes. And then there is the free parking. Free parking plays not like the free parking in Monopoly. Because free parking in Monopoly is supposed to be a non-event space. You just land on it and nothing happens. But they're well aware that you do house rules on Monopoly, and sometimes you turn that free parking into a jackpot. So the free parking's worth $500 plus any losses based on taxes and fees or chances or whatever into the pot. So it becomes this big collective, and someone can take it with one clue. That's also very interesting. I think that's all of it. If you land on Go, it's still $200. The only other event is basically the big game mechanic. Obviously, we have talked about the event of how it's all of these monopolies play a role in how you build houses. If you land on a railroad, which there are four, that triggers an event called a hostile takeover. Not to be confused with my old podcast. So, in a hostile takeover, someone gives a correct clue. Whoever gives the correct clue doesn't win money. However, they get the right to take over someone's monopoly. The token advances to that space, and they must give two or three correct answers in a row to win it. If they fail on the hostile takeover, the monopoly is over, and whoever owns that monopoly will take home the value of the token property from that opponent. So it becomes high risk, high reward. This is where the game becomes a bit silly, because after round two, which is the biggest part of the entire show, there'll be a little alarm like, hey, we have a minute left, we're done, like Jeopardy. Then they do the sell-offs. Just like you would mortgage the properties, just like how you would sell the houses, they would do it. So it's very one-to-one. Because you own all of these hotels, we're giving you $250 per hotel or $50 per house, and we're just giving back the money for you. That brings your grand total to this. In addition to any monopolies you own, we'll add it. Whoever has the most money at the end, when time runs out, will advance to the final round. Everyone else, I don't know. I don't think they get money. I think they just get, like, consolation prizes and day trips to Palm Springs. So, we go to our final round. We did our third commercial break, and now we're here. Hi, hello, welcome to Once Around the Board. Once Around the Board, the object is simple. In five rolls, make it to Go or pass to Go, and you win. However, much like all of the risky games you see before it, do not go to jail, because if you go to jail, you'll lose all the money you made up to that point in this bonus round. To make things even worse, they have to add go to jail spaces on three of the four sides. The first side, you know, the purple light blues, there's no go to jails. However, once you go past the just visiting, you have to add one go to jail space on that side, another on side two where Illinois, Indiana, Marvin Gardens is, there's that corner go to jail space, and then to make things even worse, two at the final hurdle, Pennsylvania Avenue, Park Place, Boardwalk, but the catch is it doesn't have to be a property. You can put it wherever you want the board. You can put it on a railroad. You can put it on a luxury tax. You can put it on chance. Wherever you see fit. And then it plays exactly like a regular-ass game show. You roll the dice. And this time you roll the dice. And you advance that many spaces. And then you have to make a decision. Stop and take the money up to that point at $100 per space. So you roll a 7, that's $700. Or do you keep playing? If you roll double, that's a free roll and you can keep rolling. So doubles are encouraged. And unlike on regular Monopoly, three doubles does not mean the automatic go to jail. So you can keep rolling doubles as much as you like, my friend. As long as you can make it across the board without going to jail, you can win. Here's where it becomes risky. Because if the numbers aren't in your favor, you can go to jail. That's not good. You want to take $3,000 to go? That's the game mechanic. If the player can make it past go in five rolls, or a fewer, or more of doubles, they win $25,000. Hooray! But if there's a twist, if they can land on go exactly, they get $50,000. Whoa, Nelly! And that becomes the game. I don't think anyone ever won the $50,000, but there have been a few $25,000 winners. And it was actually like a really good final round. It makes sense. It reminded me of the Rick D's Pepsi Cola pilot. That's why I brought it up earlier. The ones that are on the board do not hit the go to jails. That's kind of what one of the game mechanics was. So, the puzzles were there. The music stingers were cool. They had a nice jazzy, upbeat, kind of going for that weird classic saxy vibe that would fit the aesthetic of Monopoly. But it was just kind of not really Monopoly. And at the same time, it was a really good version of Monopoly. Because it was mostly just luck-based with crossword clues. That was kind of just a luck environment. But Mike Riley, whew, that was not really a good host. Because he never really seemed... It's... I guess it was the 90s? But, like, the host was like, here's the impression of doing Mike Riley. You just standed on Community Chess, and Charlie O'Donnell, tell us what's in the Community Chest.
Well, that's right. It's, get $100, bank error in your favor.
All right, that means $100 for all three of you. Let's roll the die. Blue, blue, blue. All right, that's six. Moving you over to Venter Avenue, and that means that Becky, you have the Monopoly. All the ones start with the letter R. Your word is a mouse by any other name. A rat, that's right, okay. That's Monopoly. That is what the Monopoly game show was. Lasted 12 episodes. But that's not the only form of Monopoly out there. Was it a good game show? Kind of. Did it deserve better hosts? Yes. Is there ways to improve it? Absolutely. But I'm going to get to that later. Because here is how I would do that later because I have to talk about the other Monopoly. The last Monopoly we can talk about is the last Monopoly. Do you ever see Billy Gardell? Have you ever seen Monopoly Millionaires Club? It was a lottery game show. We barely touch on lottery game shows here on Game Shows, I suppose. Not because they're not game shows, it's just more, you know, gambling. Because most lottery game shows are always of a luck-based element. And I understand luck-based elements in game shows. Because we talked Deal or No Deal, which was a lottery game show. It just never really goes into like a fun little discussion. Dealer Nonia was based on the postcode lottery, by the way, from the Netherlands. So for Monopoly Millionaires Club, it was the multi-state lottery. I think it was Florida, New York, Connecticut. It was all these little things that had like Monopoly scratch-a-win tickets. And if you collected them and you got a second chance drawing, you can play on the show. And fly to Vegas, for a chance to win $100,000 and a chance to win to go for $1 million. So in Monopoly Millionaires Club, which originally aired on Game Show Network, then they pulled the plug on Game Show Network because it's eliciting lottery services, which is gambling, and that is against the law for cable networks to issue that. So it had to be a local channel. So it moved from your GSN, which was kind of the one packaging for season one, to that of a local affiliate, like a CW, a My Channel 13, maybe your local CBS, NBC station. It was always, it was really small time Saturday night at 7 or 8, because they had to burn these shows off. They had no chance on this either. The original one lasted an hour, and then the second season was half an hour. Why half an hour? Because it's hard to sell an hour-long show to syndicators, especially that in local markets where they focus more on local news and syndicated shows, which are typically sold in the half-hour variety with the exclusion of daytime talk. Sorry, Ellen. So, there are various games played on Monopoly Millionaires Club with Billy Gardell. There are four sections based on four different states and four different lotteries, like a top hat, like a dog, I think it was race car, and battleship. I think those were the four. Or money bag, I don't know. And then they would play different luck-based games, like Electric Company, or free parking, or there's always something themed around Monopoly that is based on just basic luck. Like, for instance, there is Ride the Rails, I think was the name of the game, where it was kind of fun. It was kind of like a quicker version of The Color of Money, where the object was to get $50,000 so you can get $100,000. And the idea was that there was 1 to 10 on railroads, meaning 1,000 to 10,000, and it would just keep moving in $1,000 increments based on the amount of like cabooses they have, little train cars. So Billy Gardell would have to basically tension this and go like, train's leaving the station, $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. Then you would ring it. And then I think the last one was double. Like, the idea was supposed to be easy enough for you to try and win. And I don't think it was really possible. Because a lot of these people, because this is a lottery game show, have the philosophy of go big, go home. They didn't really think walk away at any point, which made a lot of these games unbearable to sit through because you knew the action was they're going to keep playing. So if they won the $100,000 on any of these mini games based on Monopoly properties, such as free parking, where they basically had to play Stacko, or Electric Company, where they had to pull a light and they would advance that many spaces and kind of like cliffhangers that get closest without going over, but there was a prize tree. I'm not going to go through every minigame on Monopoly Millionaires Club, but it was kind of just a crapshoot, to say the least. $100,000 games were played. That's all you need to know. $100,000 games played with Monopoly. It was basically pick a number. That number corresponds to an event. Do you stop or do you keep playing? Yes, no. The big sell for Monopoly Millionaires Club was that if you win the $100,000, you get half, and the area that you play gets the other half, so they get to split it. And it was like, what, 30 people per chair, so they got like a few thousand dollars? Yay. I think it was 25 seats. It had to be like something very low. So what makes the game exciting is that they get to basically play a luck-based game and then cave into peer pressure as they're telling them to go on, so there's no point in you leaving because you're really risking not $40,000 for a chance at 100, you're risking $20,000 for a chance at 50,000, which also deflates the stakes of which Monopoly Millionaire's Club is played. As they play four games, one of which is a double chance game with Todd Newton. You remember Todd Newton, he hosted Family Game Night, and he hosted Whammy. He has hosted Hollywood Showdown. So he gets to relegate himself, even though he is a dignified game show host, to being a, hey, so-and-so, pick two numbers. All right, well, you got $3,000. Thank you for playing. Pick up the Monopoly Second Chance Lottery draws at your local Monopoly lottery area. It's lottery game shows. That's luck-based. That's what happens. So we go to the final round now, because I figured this is the only part where the show actually is kind of cool, because it's the only part of Monopoly Millionaire's Club that I actually kind of like. Besides the cool set, which does look like Monopoly, and there's a really cool LED light board of a Monopoly game board, not really a lot of aesthetics that make it feel like you're in Monopoly. So, it's called Go for a Million. Originally, they had to make a decision if they want to stop or go, and then whoever had the most money would go. And if it was a tie, because they both had 100,000, it would be whoever was the randomizer would decide who gets to play. In this weird game, they decided to change it up so it's like big deal of the day. We go from the tippity top and then we work our way downwards with three games instead of four in the half hour version, because that's what happens these days. And it becomes a luck-based game show. So if you go for a million, it plays somewhat like the final round of the Monopoly game show. You roll the dice and you have five rolls. If you make it across the go, you win $100,000. I think you win the community jackpot, which is usually $200,000, meaning that you get $100,000 and the team gets $100,000. Wow, that's amazing. But if you land on go, it's $200,000, and if you land on go, you win $1 million, and the jackpot is like $200,000 that's split among the audience. So you big risk. You can win $200,000, which is really $50,000 becoming $100,000, or you can win $1 million and the audience gets $200,000. Meaning the stakes for the audience in your section is $50,000, $100,000, or $200,000 to split. Woo-hoo. Anyway, so what happens is, instead of rolling the dice, because you could actually cheat, they have this like weird bass drum kicker thing, and they gave them a wireless signaling device like would be on a game show. They press it, and it stops the machine, and then whatever it lands on is how many spaces they advance. They call it the Rock and Roller. Probably because that's what it's called. I don't know. Fire up that Rock and Roller is the catchphrase Billy Gardell says constantly on this game show. Fire up that Rock and Roller. And they advance that many spaces. And then based on the property is how much money they get. So if it's like a really crappy property, they may get like $4,000 or $5,000 or $3,500 or $8,500. All the way up to Boardwalk, which is $40,000. All right. But that's added to a team bank. If the contestant goes to jail, the game is over and they lose all the money, much like in the original game show. However, now everything is some weird monstrosity of a game. Luxury taxes, I think taxes paid for a year. No, the electric company's electric bills paid for a year. water works is they pick a faucet, and if it's money, it's money. If it's a trip, it's a trip. Chance is a 1 in 4, and the closer you get closer to go, the more it increases the go to jails. There is, was it free parking? You get to choose, and one of them is a car, so you can win a brand new car. I think Waterworks was the cars. Waterworks was the trips. Chance was a fire. It's based on 1 in 4, and you just get money, or you can lose everything. And then you gotta make a decision. Do you want to walk away, or you want to keep rolling? It has a really cool set. That's the one positive. It has a really cool set, and the interactive floor of Monopoly is really neat. The Billy Gardell's counting of the steps. 1, 2, 3, 4. They're on Marvin Gardens. How much is Marvin Gardens worth? $19,000. That takes you now to $63,000. You want to take $63,000? You know you can't. You go past jail because you're really close. But you only have one roll left. You need a roll of 12. That's what Monopoly Millionaires Club is. Just a luck-based, roll-based game. Now, of course, you don't get that money. You have to split it with the group. So it's, once again, not really a risky game show in a way that I kind of just think kind of, I don't know, sucks. Throwing it out there. I mean, I like Monopoly, but I think the problem is that both of these versions of Monopoly really cater to the aspect of luck more than it did trivia. Now, Millionaire's Club, it had to. It's a lottery game. For the Monopoly game show, it did have crossword clues, which sped the game up, but there really wasn't any decision-making. Which is why I get to now say how I would do Monopoly. This is the last part of the show. This is the main takeaway of Monopoly, besides the fact that capitalism is bad. And no game shows will ever illustrate that effect, because game shows are, by design, really, really bad signs of capitalism being at its worst ends, showing the greed of others and the selfish behaviors of others in the cutthroat competition to win money. Anyway, here's how I would do Monopoly. I've been playing Monopoly for years and years and years, and I mean, they have so many variations of Monopoly. If Monopoly Junior, they have what was it? The Monopoly, the electric banking Monopoly. They have a Monopoly now where it's just you shoot money out of like a money gun, and then there's chance cards with the Monopoly money. I don't know. So, what I would do, here's my proposal, is you inspire the new Monopoly based on the hot new Monopolies that are out there. Yes, Monopoly Millionaires Club had the same look of Monopoly Millionaires Edition, where the goal was to get $1 million first. But I don't really care much for that one, because there is a set limit and time limit, and obviously that means there's going to be a win. However, one of the fastest games in Monopoly, besides Speed Monopoly, which is available at Target, is a game called Monopoly Empire. If you've never played Monopoly Empire, you basically buy brands like McDonald's, like Xbox, like Delta Airlines, all sorts of different apps and games and all sorts of different things, which is really cool branding. In a way that makes it feel like you're owning the properties. You're like a hotshot. I like that. So, Monopoly Empire is one of my favorites because it takes about 20 minutes to play. And the idea is you buy brands. So, I think if you're going to do a new Monopoly, my focus would be more business, quote-unquote, and the brand identities that come with modern Monopolies. Because if you think about it, every single modern Monopoly, there's always like a spinoff, like a MLB Monopoly or a Minecraft or Sonic the Hedgehog or every one of these. So what I would propose is, if you're going to do Monopoly, do it like Monopoly Empire. The rules of Monopoly Empire is each side of the board has values that are worth more and more. So I think the early ones are worth 50 points, the second side 100, 150, then 200, and the object is to get to 1,000 first. If you get a Monopoly, you get a bonus, I think, 50, and if you get an electric company or waterworks, bonus 50. There is no money changing hands. Wait, no, there is money changing hands in Monopoly Empire. So it becomes like a race to get to the top of your empire building by answering questions. That's where I would go. So kind of like Monopoly in the sense of we go around the board, but now it becomes we roll the die. Wherever it lands on is what's played for. If it's a property based on a theme like Coca-Cola or let's just go General Electric, a question is made in regards to that brand. So the category is the company itself. So if it's Coca-Cola, it'll be like, what decade did Coke Zero come out? The 2000s, the 2010s, or the 1990s? Something like that would be the questions you would ring in. If you're right, you win the Coca-Cola brand, you go up the board, and we keep playing. That is how I would handle it. If you land on someone else's property, because once we go around the board, everyone gets money, and it lands on that same property, well, that's a free bonus for you. You just won it, and you can take that money from an opponent. We keep playing. So it becomes just a build-the-bank kind of game while building your empire points. Because whoever is the first to build their money, their Empire Tower, gets to take their money home, and that's their like prize. So you won like, so just multiply everything by like I think 100. So it's like every correct answer for $500 to 1,000, and you're good. That's all you have to do. It's because I think they only used $500 and $100 increments in that game. So 1,000, 5,000 increments. All right. But obviously, we need to have a big money board game. So my proposal is just do the same thing you did with the final round of all these Monopoly games. You go around the board on the giant LED screen, and the object is, in five rolls, make it to go or pass it. And I would make it so you collect $200,000 if you land on go, if you go past it, $100,000. Because I think that would be kind of like the modern day 200 of it. Plus, $100,000 is still a life-changing amount of money, so it's not really like bad to not make it. And you would just make it $1,000 per square. That's it. Of course, based on each property, the game gets a little challenging. I would make it maybe so it's one final question on the same set of brands of the episode. So it becomes like, if you're right, you keep rolling. If you're wrong, that's considered a lost roll. So we have to keep risking. You get questions right, you know about businesses and properties, you keep playing. So that way, you can get more synergy. Well, Minecraft is there, so there's a question about Minecraft. Oh, there's DC Comics, so there's a question about DC Comics. Oh, here's a question about Etsy. So here's a question about Etsy. And it becomes a real trivia show with a little bit of Monopoly flair because of the rolling the dice and the properties matching the brands that are bought in Monopoly Empire. And what I would argue is you don't have any houses or hotels, which makes it faster, too. The only thing that matters is monopolies, and that becomes the main game. Of course, you can do twists, like free parking can be move anywhere on the board that you wish. Railroads can be the same thing, go anywhere you wish. You can make free parking a jackpot prize. There's all sorts of different things you can think of when it comes to Monopoly. I kind of think the real fun of the show should be in the categories. It should be on businesses and properties. So if you're going to do Monopoly, You need to focus it on the how many times you can go around the board, the obtaining of properties, and having a win condition. First, to achieve their tower wins, they get to collect their money. If you want to buy the property, you buy the question. That becomes the game. Like, that is where I would make Monopoly go faster, is you have to buy the right to a question. You get the question right, you get the point. First to complete their tower wins. They land on your property, they take your money, things like that. If they're bankrupt, they're out of the game. And you just make it a team of four for contestants, because like most Monopoly games, is play with four players. That is how you do Monopoly. And of course, you have a big cash prize of $100,000, possibly $200,000. Why $200,000 if you land exactly on Go? Because I'm leaning towards, you guessed it, with all things considered, said and done, the front game plus any money they've made acquired in the second round, they can get $250,000. See, you knew I was going to say $250,000, right? You're smart. So, with the fact that the brands will rotate every episode, brand synergies, working with different companies, you're going to see lots of properties come and go. And companies that would be considered big money in one episode be low tier in the other, and keep moving from there. Because that's how you would probably make a better Monopoly for game show production. You just make it business themed. Do you put this on CNBC? Possibly. But one thing I would really want is it for to look like a really cool high stakes, like you are in Wall Street. You are a hotshot in Manhattan, New York, mixed with carnival. So there's like a fake Ferris wheel light tree. There's dipping lights aesthetics. And of course, a big LED screens on each of the four podiums to show how many points they are at. Because that is how you would make some kind of visual element on this normally rotary game board. That's how you would grow it. Hey, if you want to make it really silly, you can strap the contestants on the board, fire up a rock and roller, and if they're right, hey, they get money, and then it drops. I don't know. You can, because then you can do that whole Ellen game of games, don't drop me, Ellen, don't drop me, ah, I fell. I heard that's all the rage these days. But Monopoly, a game that's all about negotiations, all about strategy, all about the dangers, is not really making for a good game show. But if you can incorporate the elements of the modern day Monopoly games, you might have something going for it. Board games turning into game shows is always one that's room for error, but who's to say? This has been Game Shows, I suppose. Until next time, keep on rolling. I mean, big smooch. Mwah!
Going to pass go now. Putting up my hotel.
M-O-N-O-P-O-L-Y.
Monopoly.
Hey, how's it going? It's me, Jordan, from Future Recording. Hi. Right after I recorded this, I just remembered there was a whole lot of segments I forgot to talk about, besides, you know, the business pitch. Monopoly as its standalone show. I mean, ESPN2 has aired Monopoly playing. And there was a Rooster Teeth show called Hardcore Tabletop, in which they had their staffers play Monopoly, with the grand prize being whatever was their prize when they win Monopoly. So, like, if they win with, like, $1,400, they get to take home $1,400. And I thought that was actually a really cool idea in terms of Monopoly. Also, Monopoly has tried to become a reality show twice. One in the early 2000s with Donald Trump. Remember him? And another one, I think as recently as like 5 years ago, they tried to bring Monopoly as a reality show. And none of those came into fruition. So in this addendum of Monopoly, tabletop, Hardcore Tabletop was actually a really good way of presenting Monopoly as a reality show because they broke it up into different episodes. They realized some of the roles didn't work out, but they still kept the negotiations and the Monopoly deals that come with Monopoly. So right before I finished recording this, I realized, wait a minute, they already did a much better version of Monopoly game show. They just played Monopoly and then added confessionals. If you can just do that, but with a season, yeah, that's all you need to do. So to me, I forgot to bring up Hardcore Tabletop and say, suggested if they're ever going to do a Monopoly game show, maybe that could also be a direction to go about for the game. I mean, if you're going to do that format, then you have to have some episodes. And I think that would actually work out because, I mean, Monopoly games are very long and you can break it up into like 20-minute bites because an average game takes about an hour to an hour 30. So I would probably go with that. Monopoly is an innovative game show idea, and I do think there's potential. I mean, Monopoly has been incorporated in Family Game Night with the Monopoly tokens and the Monopoly ATM. Obviously, Monopoly does have some sort of likeness that makes it accessible. I'm trying to figure out when I came right before I finished this pitch. I was like, "Well, so you're doing a business, and they ring on the buzzer like in the Monopoly game show, but in the final round, should they be on the board like in the Monopoly final round, or do you treat it like social distancing, like the winner stands in the center of the board and point at the board, something like that?" Anyway, that was kind of my final thoughts here. Was the Hardcore Tabletop has a really good version, and I do suggest checking it out. In the Hardcore Tabletop, it was with six contestants, like the maximum amount of tokens. Everyone had a custom token, and they only had a little character, and of course it was played for laughs, because it was from Rooster Teeth, which is a comedy gaming website. So, yeah, I would actually say that was a pretty good version. You can easily just replicate that and you're good, because they had narration, they had a Mr. Monopoly in the host. Everything sort of worked in its favor. So, other than that, maybe Monopoly Jackpot, I don't know. So, that's going to do it. I think I just said goodbye four times at this point. So let's just conclude with, come on, let's play Monopoly.
Come on, let's play Monopoly. Cash fun.